right, let's go into a little more detail about the principles that can be used to fine-tune the female body. First of all, there are two basic systems that control the whole body. There's the neurological system and the hormonal system. If you think about it, if you're going to change the whole body, those two systems are the ones that control the change. So problems that involve the whole system, the whole body systems, like hypothyroidism or low thyroid, it will affect, that's a hormone, and when it's low it affects the entire body. So a low thyroid will cause trouble thinking, it will cause weight gain, muscle aches, trouble with the heart, trouble with the digestive system. The heart can develop heart failure because of weakness of the heart muscle. You develop constipation, you feel cold, sex drive falls. So, you know, the digestive system, the neurological system, the endocrine system, the gastrointestinal system, cardiovascular, all the systems are affected from one change in one hormone. The same thing neurologically, you can have a change, you know, emotionally, and part of this happens through the endocrine system. But if you have extreme excitement, the heart rate goes faster, you have adrenaline, you have synapses, you think quicker, it changes the whole body system. So if you think about problems that affect the whole body system, frequently those can be improved by looking at the neurological system or the endocrine system more closely. Things like chronic pain, weight gain, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, these are depression, weakness, generalized weakness. These are problems where frequently with close inspection you can find areas that can be tuned up. Now there's two things basically I do different than what most people have had done. The first is that I do a more detailed view of the endocrine system. Most women, when they see their gynecologist or the endocrinologist, will get an estrogen level, a progesterone level, maybe a luteinizing hormone, a follicle stimulating hormone, and they think they get a complete thyroid test, but what they usually get is either a total or a free T4, a TSH, and a total T3 or a T3 uptake. But the more accurate modern test, in my opinion, is a free T3 and a free T4, those two tests. I'll frequently see ladies who have never had a free 3T done ever, and that's the more active of the two thyroid hormones, or they've had their thyroid adjusted properly and they're feeling well, but then the dosage is dropped because the TSH is too low. TSH is an indirect measurement of thyroid. It's thyroid stimulating hormone. It's a hormone produced by the pituitary, and although it's true it goes too high when the thyroid is too low, TSH goes up because the brain is asking for more thyroid. If it's too low, frequently it just means that you're getting enough thyroid. It doesn't mean that the thyroid should be decreased. It just means the brain's happy and it's not asking for any more. So the two things I do different are, one, that I check hormones that are not normally looked at, like DHEA, growth hormone, free T3, a detailed look at vitamins, actual blood values. And the second thing that I do is on also testosterone, free and total testosterone, which is frequently overlooked in women and others. But the second thing that I do, in addition to a very careful look at hormones that are not usually evaluated, is that I don't necessarily leave a hormone unaltered because it's technically within the normal range. Let me give you an example. With one of the thyroid hormones, the normal range is 0.8 to 1.8. It's 0.8 to 1.8. So the difference between the high normal and the low normal is almost double the value. In other words, you could have a 0.8 value for this thyroid hormone and that would be normal. And someone else might have a 1.6, which would be twice as much, twice the concentration, and they would be normal. What I have found in my practice, and what is well documented in the literature, is that many people who have that 0.8 and 0.9 value, although technically labeled as normal, they're not normal. They're depressed, they're gaining weight, their sex drive is low, they feel horrible, they've been diagnosed with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, and they're walking around with a thyroid level that's literally 0.1 picogram within the normal range. You know, so there's very good evidence. Just one study, I'll quote one study as an example. There was a study in neurology, which is like the New England Journal for Neurologists, showing that women in the lower 20 percentile, in other words, if you've got that 0.9, where you're technically normal and usually not treated, you have twice the risk of dementia, according to this study, as a woman who's in the upper 20 percentile of normal and is sitting around 1.6. So the second thing that I do differently than most physicians who treat hormonal problems with women is that even if you're normal, I may want to change it. Now, I don't want to make you abnormal, and it varies how I change it according to what symptoms you're having, which is why the first visit with me is usually an hour and a half to 2 hours, because I want to know every little symptom, and I want to figure out the best way to tailor make your hormone replacement. Now, I like to run estrogen low because we know it's a carcinogen. I like to run thyroid on the high end of normal because we know, as one example, that the low end of normal puts you at risk for some diseases. I don't want it abnormally high, that's disease. Abnormally low, that's disease. But I think that there's enough evidence in my practice and in the medical literature to support adjusting within the normal range, according to your symptoms, so that you feel better. With testosterone, I like to run it on the high end of normal. Sometimes I'll even let it creep a little above normal in females because the normal female, the range is around 20 to 70 in that range. Well, a normal male is 500 to 1500. So, you know, letting you creep up to 80 or 75 is not going to turn you to a man. And there's no you don't have a prostate if you're a woman, so there's no target tissue for cancer, right? So, testosterone is a very good weight loss hormone. That's the reason men have a low percent of body fat, it's testosterone. So what I frequently see in women as they reach menopause, usually the first thing to fall is testosterone. So for years before they ever skip a period, they'll have increasing weight gain, and they're told that their hormones are normal. But guess what? Their testosterone is in the dirt. And so they lose their sex drive, and they lose their energy. When they go exercise, their muscles don't recover. So because they've lost that important anabolic steroid, and now they have a higher, the estrogen is still there. They're still having periods, their breasts are fine, their face is fine, and but now that ratio has changed, so they start to put on body fat, and they can't figure out why, and they relate it to having a baby, but usually it's just because that testosterone level started to fall, and I frequently see this start to happen in the late 20s and early 30s. One thing that worsens it is birth control pills. When you take birth control pills, the pituitary or birth control, whether it's a shot or a pill, the pituitary sees the extra estrogen and progesterone and quits making luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone. So you quit, you're not at risk for having a child, but guess what? Because the luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone goes down because the brain's not asking the ovary to produce estrogen because it's seeing this estrogen that's coming in from the outside, the ovary also quits producing testosterone. And so that's one reason why women start to gain weight when they take birth control pills, and it's one reason they get irritable. Yeah, people associate testosterone with irritability and aggression, but actually, except in extremely high doses where bodybuilders are taking 3 to 10 times the normal dose, you don't see aggression with testosterone. It's low levels that cause irritability. You don't see any irritated, nervous-looking bulls grazing out in a field. Testosterone has a calming effect when it's in normal dosages. you're more calm in public. I've seen salesmen become better at selling. I've seen teachers become better at teaching. But those low levels can literally precipitate panic attacks. Literally panic. And I've lost count of the people I've taken off of antidepressants and anti-anxiety drugs like Prozac after starting testosterone. Remember, I never stop one thing until I've started something else, but usually 6 weeks to 8 weeks after starting testosterone in a woman who's had a low level, she will either need less or come completely off with slow tapering of whatever medicine she's taking for anxiety. Occasionally, she'll keep the same dose, but feel better on that dosage. So the two things I do differently are check more, get a better detailed view of metabolism and hormone balance, and number two, listening very carefully to symptoms, adjust hormones within the normal range so that you maximize health and vitality and minimize risk. Now, a little bit more about estrogen and the other hormones when we get, I'll talk later about hormones, each hormone in particular. But let's talk some more about some of the tools I use to help fine-tune the female body. There was a book written by Bruce Lee about martial arts. And he talks about learning all these different brands of martial arts, but then when he was in an actual fight, he just forgot them all and did whatever tool came natural to him at the time. But in order to do that successfully, he had to learn each tool very carefully as a separate project. So he learned about boxing, and he learned jiu-jitsu, and he learned all these brands of fighting, but then when he was in a fight, he forgot it all, and what came out was sort of a mixture, and it was what was needed at the time, and that was the art. It's the same when it comes to other brands or other arts, like medicine. It's really not a science in many ways, that there is art to it. Now, there's science involved, but then when it comes to actual seeing a patient, there's a lot of art still in what to do. Diet is so confused. Doctors are so confused. They're more confused, I think, than patients about what the right thing is to do. But thankfully, the NIH is presently doing a lot of important studies, quickly trying to enlighten us on what the best strategy is. But when it comes to diet, I just want you to know some of the tools that I may use. I have studied with some of the teachers in the vegetarian tradition. I went and stayed at some of the Seventh-day Adventist health facilities. I went out to San Francisco and studied under the Paul Call, who's the physician who helped Barry Sears write the Zone books, and learned that strategy. At one time, they had me listed as one of their teachers, and we could do all the PowerPoints on the Zone. But just to let you know that particular strategy, I went and studied in Orlando under the people who produced Health Management Resources, which is presently the largest and longest running physician hospital-based weight loss plan. It's usually in large centers and involves meal replacements with shakes and sometimes medicines to help suppress the appetite. As a high school and college kid, I worked as a personal trainer at the YMCA, and I've gone and studied in New York under was involved with the growth hormone study, and have looked at the Atkins diet, and I've lived on all these things. You know, when something comes out, I go buy it and I live it. Well, I also have a couple of computer software programs that I'll sometimes plug percent body fat analysis into, and then have the computer generate a very detailed diet. But the point is, there are a lot of different strategies out there, and not one of them fits every person, and not one of them fits one person throughout the lifetime. I'll frequently swap strategies. I might do fasting, which is I've studied some on my own and through extensive reading, and I might have a day of complete fasting on water. And then I might switch over to something more on the range of the zone diet. I might go vegetarian for a couple of weeks, but I change these my diet around according to my activity level and the way I feel, and it's really an art to staying healthy and being able to be happy about what you're eating. So I'd like to bring that to as part of what I do for people, but I usually don't start off talking real heavy into the diet part of it, because most of the people, most of the women I see have some major anchors they're pulling around metabolically. So they've strained themselves ferociously in some horrible diet and still not seen results. And they're not going to see results until the metabolic anchors are pulled up. It's like revving up their engine on a boat, but they're still dragging this huge anchor. So I don't want them becoming frustrated and trying some very strict diet before they're really ready to see results. Usually I have some very mild and easy changes that I have people do for the first few weeks while after we make the hormonal changes. And then I may phase in something more strict for a while to see some more rapid changes in their body, and then phase back into something more on the lines of maintenance. So that covers the basic plan with nutrition. The next is exercise. We'll cover that on the next track.